then words to this battle, Guardian.
Nice to see so much Gilneas Pete in the playoffs. This is Core.
Welcome to Core, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. And my gosh, my placement matches have been hard. It's not the game's fault. I really like everything about this patch. But gosh dang it, dude. Why is it? Is it because my MMR is such a pooper that I have to get in with like total dweeb holes and fight them to get a freaking win? Okay, phew, it's out of my system. It's like I took a giant dump just now. It feels better. I feel better.
Keep going. Lean into it.
Man, I don't know, dude. It's just been hard. It's only been a couple of attempts, to be honest, to the point where you lose a couple of games in a row and people get real nasty in there. And then you're like, all right, I'm going to go, I don't know, dominate some fools in Overwatch, or I'm going to go play a little Diablo, or I'm going to do something else for a while because this is not great, this feeling I'm having right now. And again, it's not the game's fault. I'm happy to be placing in a new round of whatever, but I just get this feeling of like all the wieners are getting in with me. They're all coming in when I go in, and I don't want to be fighting wieners anymore on my team. The other teams have been fine. In fact, they've been beating us handily. It's been no problem for them, but for the teams I'm on, it's just been like he said, she said, people blaming each other for stuff, guys not taking responsibilities, dudes sitting in the Nexus for too long, had to mute a whole team once. Because they were convinced I was a problem, even though I carried us and we didn't win, but I ended up with like all the points. So I don't know how to handle that stuff at this stage because I really want to just get my 10 placements done and then I'll be where I'm at. And then I'm just going to quick match and unrank draft all day long and not worry so much about ranked individual ranked. I'm very interested in team. I'm really curious about where we're going to end up and all that. That to me is very interesting. But my solo experience, probably just me, everybody, willing to admit it, has not been stellar. It's been a little rough. That's all.
I don't think it's just been you. I think everybody had their trials and tribulations. I certainly had my share of bad individuals, people that I had to report and mute. Although I will say there is a big satisfaction that comes from getting to the end of the match. And as you're watching your core be destroyed, just typing, hey, everybody on the team, make sure you report that Johanna. We can keep players like her out of the game. And everyone going, yeah, we can. And just knowing.
Wow.
Just knowing. All that's right. Going to be four people reporting one person. And it feels good.
Yeah, there's something about that. Bo, you're the Zen master positive thinker around here. Because you've always said, and I believe, you know, when you say this, I take it seriously and I try to implement it in my life. But you say things like this. You say, it isn't about the destination. It's about the battle. It's about the getting there that is the reward. The reward itself mm-hmm. isn't a bunch of fancy mounts or rank one, or in this case, master and grandmaster or any of that. Those are cool and they'll come if you're good and you get there, but it's the getting there that is the reward. So I keep trying to remind myself, but I'll tell you what, that is a hard mantra to repeat when you're in the middle of the 10 placement matches with a bunch of hooligans and monkey boys.
Yeah, I experienced this too. I've played a lot, excited for the new mode, and there are people who go play Hero League, and they're just interested in doing other things, right? Like, they're just there to do other things. They're there to needle you. Mm-hmm. They're there to get a reaction. They're there to be an investigator and find out who screwed the team. They're, you know, they're there for all the wrong reasons, and it can wear on you when people don't share your view of trying to approach the game.
Well, so, especially when it's not the game's fault. Like, the game's fine, the game's great. Mm-hmm. It's a great video game. Hey guys, guess what? Blizzard made a rad video game. I don't know if you know about this, but they make great video games, and all of them are good. And I'm going to say, Heroes of the Storm, great video game. It's just these people, and I don't know where they're coming from. And I know that if we've often said, well, it doesn't matter, even when you climb higher in the ranks, you still run into people like that. And maybe there's just no way around it. but it just makes me more and more than ever only want to play with my friends. And maybe that's what Blizzard wants me to do. Like, if you think about it, this game is geared to be a, obviously it's a multiplayer game. You know, there is no PvE really, although tell some of my teammates it's not a PvE game. Anyway, in the placement matches, I mean, not you guys. You guys are fun. You know, like I just want to be around people I like, and it hasn't been, this has not been the best, although, and also I haven't had a ton of time to play. So when I have had time and they were kind of negative experiences from the teammate perspective, that made it a little bit harder because I knew I wasn't going to be able to just sit here and grind it out. So that's probably part of it. All that being said, though, I'm happy to report, and we'll talk about our individual impressions here in a minute, kind of point by point, but I'm happy to report, I think this is, for the most part, a pretty strong patch. It feels like a healthy place for the game to be progressing in. Does anyone disagree with that after seeing what we've seen? It feels pretty good to me.
The overall verdict for me is everything's great for the most part.
All right.
I think I was really excited to play Hero League again. I was really excited to play. I've been playing a lot of Quick Match lately and playing Heroes. I don't play as often, so it's great to get back to the Heroes I normally play, except for Kael'thas, who's unfortunately banned every game. But I rediscovered Greymane, who's a pretty awesome little wolf man.
Yeah, and
as we call him, Gilneas Pete.
And well, in a little later, we're going to talk about him in our core concept. So we're going to get very specific and very personal with Wolfman Jack and talk about why he got played like crazy in these playoffs this week, which, by the way, was another huge motivating factor for me to want to play more. And that was frustrating because I didn't have a ton of time. So we're watching maybe some of the best games I've ever witnessed. Like, that was incredible, those two teams in those finals. And I came away from that going, oh my gosh, I want to play. And then I was like, we're late for the barbecue. Get in the car, everybody. And then we were off to some barbecue and I couldn't play. So it's been a rough week. Finally, the last thing I'll say about this, and then we'll move on. Oh, and John, before we do that, though, John, your overall large take of the week of this patch.
I've really liked it. I've played a lot of Heroes, and it really did a good job. For whatever reason, I think 10 was kind of a magic number for me, because when it was 20, it took me forever to get through it. And with 10, I kept saying, oh, you know what? I'll get two more in. Okay, you know what? I'll do two more. Mm-hmm. All right, I can do the last three right now. And like, it just felt really manageable, and that felt really good. The only part of the whole experience that I didn't really like was Bo and I played a lot of games together, duo queue. And the only thing that I don't really understand is once one of you places, you can now no longer duo queue, which I'm fine with in practice, except that they still put you, they mix in ranked players and unranked players. Now, if they were keeping them completely separate and I was only playing with placement people and he was only playing with ranked people, then I kind of understand that. But it's weird that they say, oh no, you two can't play together. And then they put me in a match that would have literally been the exact same had he been there, as opposed to him not being there.
Well, my
and that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I agree. And I thought the original point of this was to make that separation. Do you think the reason that that's not happening, and I noticed it too, and at first I was like, no, wait a minute, we're all placement. Those guys, why are we playing guys that are already placed and probably going to kill us here or whatever, you know, like all the fears you have at the beginning of a match. I thought that wasn't supposed to happen. And there it was happening. Is this just a population problem? Like, you know, we've talked about this before. So. Do you think so? Yeah.
Well, if you make a rule, you either follow it or you don't. So that's not a confidence booster, but I don't know. Like, if he had smacks of they, because I'm sure we talked about it on the show, and I remember being excited about Noob Island, and I was very surprised when it wasn't there. And so maybe they just changed their decision, you know, shortly before and too late to put out a press release about what is essentially a smaller item, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So also, where do we stand? Okay, the final thing. Where do we stand on? All right. Here, I'll say it this way. You're on a team with a bunch of randos, okay? Even if it's two of you, two stacked, and you got three guys that are just randoms. One of them, let's say that person picks a healer. Let's say they pick Karazim. Karazim is unique in the sense that he can heal. He can be very healy and go very strictly healy, or you can have him go very strictly damagey, Or you can sometimes find a pretty good combo. And the truth is, most characters, with whatever their utility is, their best often their best usage is usually some sort of combination of smart choices. Whether that's a widely held build or you just do it yourself, you're usually doing it because, well, my playstyle fits this better, or I'm more effective at late game with this, or whatever. I don't understand the mentality of somebody who picks that character and then decides to go kind of a hybrid. So they may go very heavy heal on top, but then when they get to level 10, they pick seven-sided strike, which I do every time, by the way. I think we all do. Most of us do. Well, Bo doesn't. Bo's pretty good with that heal. But anyway, the point is, some of us...
good palm.
Yeah, you've got good palm. And so for us, too, you'll go blind, though. Don't palm too much. You get you get to that point where now you've chosen, you've made your way, and the whole rest of the team spends way too much time typing about how you're not a real healer because you chose a thing. Your build isn't a true healer build. And then they start having conversations with each other. Leave him alone. He's obviously new and doesn't know anything about what's going on in this game. Like, talk like that. So if I haven't made it clear yet, this happened the other day. And the only difference in my build, I did Healing Palm or whatever it is. What's it called? Healing Palm. No?
Seismic Palm? No, Divine Palm.
Divine Palm. Seismic Palm would be cool too. But so I even chose that. But where I didn't go pure healing was I went with the Volley of Blows over the second fart.
Yeah, and Volley of Blows, great.
That was enough to set off four people for the next 20 minutes of the match barking at me about how I didn't pick that second fart.
Let me ask you another question.
All right.
Wait, let me ask you another question. All right. Did you also take the mana regen at level 1?
No.
That's a good point.
No, I took the healing
one. Wow. Okay, so I'm trying to investigate a little bit where the tilt was caused. But here's the thing. The chat channel existed before the problem started. it seems like in a lot of cases it gets used after. Whereas you can, you know, and I do this, so I'm like, I'm thinking of taking this ultimate. What are you taking? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a conversation that everyone's too lazy to talk about their strats beforehand, but had plenty of time to, chew the fat about it afterwards.
Oh, yeah. They got all the energy in the world then. If they were lazy before, suddenly they're drinking 5-hour energy drinks and deciding to yell at each other. It's insane.
I had that in one of my draft games, some the last pick said I don't play heals. So, and I was second to last pick. We were picking together. I said, well, what would you like to play? Because I had my stuff on Greymane. I can fill, but what do you want? What are you thinking of playing? What do you want to play? And then we got down to 2 seconds on the timer and we both ninja switched at the same time. He switched to Zagara. So I switched to Carl Jim. And then I think he ninja switched to another support. And then he proceeded to berate me. And I said, we had about 4 or 5 minutes where I was asking you what you wanted to. You have no right to be mad at me. I'm not listening to you. Like, and then he's typing. All of a sudden, the man or the woman knows how to type, knows how to talk to people. So, if you're within the sound of this voice, don't be that way.
Yeah.
Because if you're that way, that's bad.
It was a real bummer because I played a really good Karazim. I did really good work. I had some kills because of Volley and some sweet saves because of other choices. And they just, here's why I think we lost. And I'm not trying to just be, talking rotten bananas all day about my recent play experience, but they were so busy typing. And I don't care if they're like typing wizards. I don't care if Mavis Beacon herself was on the other end of this game. They were
salty Mavis Beacon.
She was, that actually sounded tasty because it sounded like salty Mavis bacon a little bit.
Yeah.
That sounds all right.
The Mavis.
Yeah. The Mavis part, I don't know. And I don't want to know, but anyways,
part of the pig does the Mavis bacon.
Yeah, exactly. So they were too busy doing that and not playing. That's why we lost. They got it in their head that this was a problem for no reason. And then they just chatted the entire time, sat in the Nexus and typed. And that's why we lost. There's no other reason why we lost. I healed everybody I could all the time, made plenty of saves constantly, like a support. I did support for this team, and they were bugged by one talent pick.
So you took Palm in this match, too?
I took Palm in this match and successfully got a Palm off.
So the only thing that tilted them was the level 4 pick, or level 7 or level 4.
That I'm not tooting twice. That's it. because
which was a talent that they recently changed to make it more acceptable to not pick.
Right. Exactly. And it made me, as a kind of a divey support, it made me more useful to pick volley of blows. I think that's why they tweaked that talent. So I know, I realize it's spilt milk, it's rotten eggs, it's all that stuff. And I, you know, it is what it is. Mavis Beacon can F off is all I'm saying. All right, let's talk about the summer championship. It happened. It was really, really great. But what do you think the moment? Do you have a moment of the tournament? Like a minute where you went,
we're going to get to this right away.
Let's do it.
My favorite moment of the tournament. Yeah. I'm watching it this weekend in Caldor, who's a beloved, one of the beloved showcasters and community members that people know. Shouted out. I can't remember what hero it was. He's like, oh my God, this hero went balls deep. The balls are deep. And I was like, whoa, this guy, like, you know, when you're so excited, like I was earlier, we were, you know, I let an F-bomb fly. Right. He was so excited that I'm pretty sure the moment that those words left his mouth, he regretted it. But then he doubled down and said it again about 30 seconds later. But then he never said it again for the rest. So I know somebody said, listen, we love you, Caldor, but maybe balls deep. Maybe a little too much for this.
Look, maybe the Germans don't have assign the same severity to the term that we do or something. But
because they have a word for everything, so maybe he was referring to Ball Diepenstein or something, and it just means something different. It just means what a brave man, you know. That's
probably it.
Yeah, I want to call the show Ball Diepenstein now. If that's all right,
do it.
but he is a very excitable German caster, and he is really fun to watch. And him, all the other casters and commentators, combined with some of the best production work I've seen for these games, for Heroes games, top notch stuff. Really, really exciting. Every match was a nail biter. Like, none of these were like throwaway, oh my gosh, they're killing them games. Like, think of the best Super Bowl you ever watched where it was like a real game. That's what these felt like. This is an ASU just sweeping through the brackets. These were two teams that fought really, really hard, had some crazy stuff going on. The moment of the games for me were things just crazy saves and really weird survivals, like characters that should be dead and somehow weren't, like just insane stuff. And I know I watched a bunch of this stuff while it was happening live. John, you're at work for part of that, but were you able to catch it and see some of it?
Yeah, so I was kind of just listening to the first three matches of the final at work, and then I had to ultimately go back and watch the VODs for the final two. Now, I knew who won, so I knew that it was going. I knew who was going to win both those matches, but that Dragonshire game, I could not believe it because they were behind for the entire match. Yeah. And I was just sitting there and they would constantly lose Dragon Knights and they would constantly get near full team wipes. And I would just think, I don't know how they're going to beat MVP Black. Like, how do you do this? Like, that team is too good to lose in this situation. And then you slowly started to see them eke their way back, and it was incredible. Yeah. It was just a shocking turnaround. And you could even hear it in the casters. Like, they couldn't even get the words out when they realized that it was over. That was the game. They had just turned it on that one team fight. Mm-hmm. And it was a real incredible moment.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was insane. And I hope, I mean, I don't know what one days of playoff matches does for esports popularity of a relatively new game, but I hope that stuck in people's minds who were watching the DreamHack coverage and happened to see those matches. And it was impossible for me to come away from those, even with my incredible bias towards loving it. It was impossible not to at least acknowledge how intense that was. Like, that's some of the best competition of any kind I've ever seen. It was really great. And the only part that was weird was they didn't have a translator for the winning team when they went to say, how do you feel? Because when that happened, so I know a little Korean because my brother and my sister are Korean. And these are both Korean teams. And when they won, they went to talk to them and says, what an amazing match. You guys just did incredible. What an incredible. Blah, 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 blah. What are you thinking right now? Mike in the face. And then nothing but Korean. And then nobody to translate it. And the guy's just kind of standing there looking like, well, that sounds great. All right, next question. And I just kept thinking, this is the one part you guys kind of got a little weird on. But for the most part, just an incredible thing. I would have been proud to show this to like some of my sports friends who really get into that kind of stuff on the sports side of things. I would love to show them this and say, this is why esports is big, these kinds of things happen, and I think it would have been pretty convincing. So it's really good. It's really good. I think we're gonna get a Tempest little ride around unit, thing, medallion,
a Nexagon.
A Nexagon.
It's referred to as a Nexagon.
Don't you hate that?
I hate that. Yeah, I think so. I think so. I had it's not one complaint, but kind of complaint. And it's not really, it's just we can do better. It's not really a complaint. But why are the finals on a Monday morning? Like, I get Europe's somewhere else. You know, like, I understand time zones, folks. But you could have made it so that it was Sunday. And I don't know. I was at work. It just really sucked.
It was a little weird.
There's nothing more to say other than it's just not good. I was busy, you know, so.
Yeah. Where were they?
My one negative. Everything else was amazing.
Was it physically located? I don't even know if I know that.
I think we said it last week, Joma Popping or something.
Hmm.
Sweden.
Joma. Sweden? Yeah, Joma Popping.
Joma Popping in Sweden.
He's my favorite baseball player growing up.
It was a hell of a get for the Blue Jays at the time. Yeah. It's amazing.
I used to say, man, one of these days I'm going to go see Joma Popping live.
Well,
he's a heck of a player.
Who wouldn't want to, really? So congrats to them. Maybe they'll just replace the exiting, what's their names, Cloud9, since they've decided to leave Heroes. They can just repaint everybody's mount that they already own. That might be fun.
Slap a new sticker on there.
Yes. Beyond the Nexus is great, says Bo Schwartz. Explain.
Yeah, so just before the tournament came up, there's this new series that Gillyweed and Dreadnought are doing. I believe it's like officially supported by Blizzard in some capacity because it's on their main YouTube site. But I thought it was really good because these tournaments, these like regional stages and the group stages, they take a long time. You have to like be sitting in front of your TV or whatever you're watching device for 10 hours at a time. And as much as I love watching Heroes, I'm not going to be doing that. If I'm playing the game in a second monitor, I'm not really paying attention to it anyways. So I thought the production value on this was really great, and I wanted to recommend it. And there's a lot of Heroes-related content that people put out, but I thought this was really informative in a great way. So I recommend you check it out to get caught up.
The only complaint I have about it, and it's not really a complaint, but the only thing I noticed is it was a little... scripted, not loose, but I err on the side of let's just have a loose conversation. So I realize that that's probably not exactly fair for me to judge that, but I wish it was a little less scripty feeling and a little more just them being themselves. And as time went on, I felt like it got more like that. Like it got better as it went on. It started off a little stiff. Other than that though, really solid stuff. And fans of everybody that were working on it and looked good. What'd you think, John?
From what I've heard, the viewership for this summer regional was much higher than normal, that they actually did really, really well. And it wouldn't surprise me to find out that doing stuff like this, I don't want to say that it's the sole reason, but getting people a quick, easy way to get invested in the story played a role in that. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if these fairly easy to digest videos about here's what the scene is about got people invested in saying, you know what? I do care about more teams than just Cloud9. It's fine that they're not there. I'm going to be excited for Tempest. I'm going to be excited for MVP Black. You know, you get more into the stories that are there. Yeah. And I really like it. I think it's a fantastic idea and very well done.
And doesn't it also strike as we've suggested in the past that one thing Blizzard has to do moving forward is invest in all of the things that you need to build up to support a better esports presence? With a game, this feels like a step in that direction to me for sure. And I don't know that you could find anybody more suited or excited about this game right now than Gillyweed. She is so into it, man. And you feel that, like watching her cast, watching her do commentary and watching her do this, there's a real sense of devotion to Heroes very specifically. And I think the game needs that. So more and more of these kinds of things are good. I'm happy to see that whether Blizzard is fully behind this or not, I think it's good that they're supporting it. They need better community outreach. Like there's a lot of things they could do to shore that up that won't be accomplished just by buying MLG or just by having ESPN college games. You know, those things are good. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, we talked about it in the past. Like you need to, what's the word? You need to have an airstrip before you can fly your plane. I don't know. It's a bad It's a bad.
Need to build a foundation. Said. You're looking for the foundation word.
There you go. That's the word I meant. Yeah. Instead, I went way down this path of stupid airport comparison. So,
hey, you know, same thing.
Good job.
Airports
Scott.
Need foundations too.
Good job. Yeah. So we talked about rank mode a bit, but I did want to at least touch on what you guys think of unranked draft. I have a funny, or I have kind of a weird experience with it, and I played with you guys in it. I don't know what I was expecting, but when I went into that, I thought, oh, this is going to feel like a whole new thing. Like, this is going to be like a whole new thing. And what it is not really that at all. It's like Hero League minus the ranking part. I mean, literally, that's what it is. So you still have the exact, I guess I was just a little sad to see the exact same bands. Goodbye, Li Ming. Goodbye, Rhaegar. Goodbye, Kael'thas. And like just the same people who are getting banned every time are getting banned as the defaults. And then you just play. And it's fine. It's great. I like it as a way of not doing just quick match. It's a nice alternative. But was I wrong expecting like a whole new feeling? You know what I mean? Like I was going to, this new third way to play is really cool. But really, it's just like the second way without the rank.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong to feel that way. It's just it's hard to be like the stuff they've added in recently, including the ranked mode and all that stuff. We're excited for it, but it's not like a new map. Like there isn't anything new. You're not getting in there and being like, oh my god, there's all new stuff to play with. It's essentially the same, just looks slicker, looks nicer, more professional. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But and the bans are never going to change until the reason for banning changes. Like right now we see the same bans across the board because we see the people that are getting banned that dramatically change the aspects of the battlefield. Kael'thas is one of the biggest playmakers in the game. Li Ming is probably the second biggest playmaker in the game. So you remove those and now all of a sudden you have a roster that, you know, has to try a little harder to make those plays. Tracer is another one that gets banned or picked very frequently because you have to play different when Tracer's around, and sometimes people just aren't going to like that play style.
Is it? Do you think any of it's just down to, oh, I watched a bunch of pro games on Twitch this weekend, and no, everybody was banning these four characters, so we should do that? Because there's sometimes I feel that way. Like if I've been in one or two matches, maybe one match where I was the picker, which shocking everybody, I had high enough MMR to pick, and I banned. Or no, it doesn't work that way in there. I think it's just whoever's first, or is it random? Well, whatever, it doesn't matter. I was picking, and I went Li Ming because I don't know. That's what everyone's doing now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm not really thinking about it. I know she's a huge impact on the like you say, she changes the very dynamic of the fight. So you know, get rid of characters that are going to do that. But sometimes I think we're just going through the motions, or sometimes they think the fan base on the whole might be. When I'm with you guys, I never feel that way. Like when Bo says, you know what, we probably should get rid of whoever, I usually go, oh well, he has a reason for that, plus he wants to try to get Kael'thas, so there's a strategy to that whole thing. And anyway, long and the short of it is I guess I was just expecting, I don't know what I was expecting. I think it was a wrong expectation for me to think there was something crazy in there, because at the end of the day it was like ranked without the rank, and if anything it made me more anxious to win because there was this feeling that, oh, I we did a draft, therefore we are in a place where this counts more, but really it doesn't. You know, I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter any more than Quick Match does.
It's to solve the problem of people who get sick of playing Nova Zeratul matches, Nova Zeratul Kael'thas versus Nova Zeratul Kael'thas with two Johannas in Quick Match or whatever. Like, that's why people want the unranked draft. So when you get tired of solo queuing versus like just absolute, balls Diepenstein team comps?
yes.
Then you can go to unranked draft and have a reasonable shot at normal looking team comp on both sides and that kind of challenge and all that. All right. So I think it solves that problem for the people, and it sounded like a lot of people. It could have been a vocal minority, but it may very well have been a vocal majority who wanted it. That being said, I played it a couple times. You guys haven't touched it because I've been playing Hero League if I'm by myself, and when I'm with you guys, I think we'd rather play Team League or Quick Match, kind of. Although,
sure.
Like, if there's five of us, we can play Team League. If we really feel like doing whatever, Quick Match is kind of convenient. I don't know.
Quick Match is nice just because we can pick whatever we want and not. Yeah. There are two games you're playing with draft. whether it feels like it or not, you're playing two different games. You're playing this weird Vegas-like gamble deal at the beginning with timers and all that. And then you're playing a MOBA after that. In Quick Match, you're just playing the MOBA. And sometimes that's a bummer because it's two tracers facing off on the same map, which is stupid, right? But it's still a way to play. More than ever, I'm convinced that they will never, ever get rid of quick play in the way it stands right now. I used to be one of those that went, well, just add draft to quick play, done deal. I don't think it's that simple. I think you need that. Get in. I just bought a character. I want a player. Wait, why are you banning her? Like, that sucks.
Yeah, it's the guaranteed way to play a character. I hate mirror matches more than anything. It immediately makes me angry. Mm-hmm. So quick match, I've never been too fond of it, but it definitely has its place, and its place is frequently with, I want to try this character and I want to know that I'm going to get him. So I'm trying to learn ETC. If I go into unranked, I'll probably get him, but there's no guarantee that I'm going to get him.
Muffin Pickle in the chat room, which sounds terrible, by the way. Muffin Pickle, blah, blah. Those two things don't go together. Anyway, says unranked is like ranked, but with even more people rage quitting when they don't get their pick. Is that true? I have not experienced that. Are people blowing out?
I haven't had it yet. Okay. But
I think people know what they're getting into. If something gets picked and they didn't get theirs, or the pick they wanted gets banned, there should be an inherent understanding in ranked, or not ranked, but in draft, I would think. Anyway.
Yeah. I think maybe after a few tries of somebody being like, man, I'm going to go play Medivh and unranked, and then it getting banned or first picked, and you get last pick, they're just going to go back to quick match. They won't try that too many times, because if you go into the draft trying to have your heart set on a single hero, it's just not going to, it might happen. It might not. Mm. Yeah. So
Daniel J. Newman in the chat room also says, if you see, not this one. He says, you need to strip before you can take a bath. So there's that. Yep. Moving on.
Fact. You don't have to.
Well, no, you really don't have to, do you? You could get in there fully clothed and just spray yourself down and whatever. But that seems like a bad idea. That's all I'll say about that.
Free country.
Free Hero Weekend starting on the morning of June 24th. That's Pacific Daylight Time. And lasting up to June 28th. Every hero will be available to play for free for players in all regions. What is the reason for this? Do we know? Have they said why? Because last time it was for birthdays. We're celebrating a year of heroes. This time is for what? Just try our stuff out?
It's June 24th.
Yeah. It's the day we all celebrate free dudes to play. I don't know. Bo, do you have a theory?
Maybe it's an experiment.
It could be. Bo, any other theories that there's like a specific reason why? Maybe they're going to do this all the time, or maybe my theory about the game having all characters free to play at some point might happen. Maybe.
Smells of experiment. Mm. They've done this before, haven't they? Like maybe during Christmas or something.
I thought they did it just for the birthday, but I could be wrong.
Maybe. Mm. It seems. Yeah, I think probably they'll be monitoring what the effects of this are, because it doesn't seem to coincide with anything of importance as far as I can tell.
I think that's going. It's a sign. They're going to all be Dota-ized, and everyone's going to get some commensurate gold for all the money they've spent on characters.
Oh, don't do that to me.
And we're heading into...
You're going to get a lot of gold.
Yeah, you're going to get a ton of gold. You'll get the most gold out of all of us, I think, probably. I don't know, John's
I'll have more
John's
gold
close.
Than all those people in Warcraft who are like trying to grind those accounts for years with the auction house.
That's right.
And now if only my hero's gold could become my WoW gold, and I could just share gold across all the platforms.
Or the other way around, I could really use my WoW gold in heroes for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I have so much gold over there.
Oh, I'd love to use hero's gold to buy subtime. That'd be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Hey, think of that. How much gold do you have right now? Just curious.
Oh, I've got 1,700. Oh. I spent it as soon as I can buy something. I have a lot of characters at 10. Okay. So either it's a new hero or it's a master skin that's getting spent on. So as soon as I hit like purchase time, it's gone.
So you don't just sit on your gold and wait for it to accumulate. You'll spend it when it's spendable.
I might die tomorrow. I want to enjoy the gold that I earned today.
Did you hear that, Ro?
Be like Smaug.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't want to sit on a pile of gold.
Yeah, Smaug.
Smaug.
That guy. Medivh is out. He is out and has been for enough time for us to say something about him. He is a dude what screwed up and got a little fell in his blood and then jacked things up and then fixed him later. or tried to. He's got a little bird buddy, and he also turns into a bird. And no, he doesn't have a bird buddy, does he? Just turns into a bird.
No, he was the bird.
He is the bird.
He just likes himself a lot as a bird. He looks in a mirror and just goes, pretty bird.
And he's a raven, right? Not a crow. I always get those two mixed up.
Raven.
Yeah. Raven. So he's a raven. And that's also Game of Thrones. I send ravens, not crows. There's a three-eyed crow, but nobody's sending him ravens.
I thought he was the three-eyed raven.
I thought he was a three-eyed crow, isn't he?
No, he's a crow. He's got to be a crow.
I thought he was the crow. Oh.
I thought he was the three-eyed raven.
I thought he was the three-eyed crow.
No, he might be.
Who's counting crows?
Ah, oh, gosh dang it. That's all right. I have to play this
now
by
law. Now we
gotta
Google.
There. That's the off-the-track sound. Anyway, we'll look it up. But for the point is, Medivh, he's out. He's a thing you can do. And he's casting shields and, I don't know, rolling waves of freezy bits and doing his bird movement. he's out there. He's in the wild. I have done nothing but done practice with him because I didn't buy him yet. His win rate, according to Hot's Logs, is abysmal. However, I think he's probably just harder to get people's heads around. Really good players like who was talking about him the other day that just loves him. Not Frumpy. Who am I thinking of? Who's the, like, sort of French-sounding guy?
Grubby?
Grubby, thank you. Not Frumpy.
Frumpy. Frumpy's his sister. she doesn't like heroes. She likes Pokemon.
That's what I meant. He seems to really think he's awesome, but his win rate is just not bearing out that the players have gotten the hang of him yet. I don't know how long that'll take or if he's truly just, you know.
Well, I have some secret sauce. I played some games with our good friend, Spencer HD. Mm. We like him. We don't like his brother, Spencer SD.
Oh, he's the worst. 480p or something. It's terrible.
It's hard to see. It's kind of blurry.
Well, thank you, television industry. He's obsolete, I guess, or whatever. So the joke was terrible. But we paired him up with Chen. So Chen, if you play Chen, a good Chen player is a real great asset to have on your team. They can dive behind enemy lines and drink their keg and preach about family and just hang out behind enemy lines for a really long time. But the problem with Chen sometimes is a hard time escaping, and that's where the portal comes in handy, both for going in and getting out. And when he gets real low in health, you can make him invulnerable, so then he can shield up, and it's absolutely disastrous. I'm looking forward to seeing some Chen Medivh pairing in pro play at some point, because I think that's going to be a thing. I think those two heroes in particular work really well together.
So when Chen usually goes in, dives in, and is in there drinking, one of his problems is that if he doesn't, he has to keep drinking or he's going to die, right? So what good is he in there until that happens anyway? And how does the portal solve that? Because if all he does is go in, whack, 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 drink, and then if he stops drinking, he's dead. How is the portal helping him do that?
He has a tiny little cooldown. doesn't sound right, but he takes a drink, and then when he's done drinking, you can press Q to kick someone in the face. You can break, you can smash your keg on them and blow fire all really quick and get back to drinking. You can do all that before the shields wear out and invalidate the value that the shields bring.
Yeah.
So he does sow chaos and disorder. Also, they'll be focusing on him. Meanwhile, your teammates can break down the wall or do whatever. Maybe another more immediate interaction is we saw in the pro play and in championship, Falstad's like to get in weird positions and isolate with Gust. Mm-hmm. That's also going to be another thing where if you place a portal somewhere, the flight takes some time and is telegraphed, but the portal's really quick. So two coordinated people with the portal will be able to portal a Falstad into position for a killer Gust, and then you get Greymane to delete Greymane and Tyrael to delete the hero. This is a team-oriented hero. He will always be bad in solo queue, I'm fairly certain. Unless they buff Chromie to incredible heights, and she's still not the greatest, I would say, still. So I think he's going to fill that role. And with a hero coming out every 3 weeks, we're going to forget about him and be like, oh, is the new hero, is Gul'dan going to be good? Because who cares about Medivh? So, but he could be a team-oriented superstar. That's kind of what my hopes are for.
Take that, Medivh. I will say his intro thing where the raven flies out of the sky and turns into Medivh is maybe one of my favorites, with Karazhan in the back and all that. That's super cool, I think. John, your experience was with Medivh. How's that been for you?
We don't have long until a new hero comes out.
Look at you taking the high road, man. I like it. I like this is a new side of John I've never seen before. Yeah, you're not
exciting new hero coming soon.
Look, you and I were both kind of not. I mean, this is not our style, this guy. And I'm with you on that. I think he's probably totally cool for some people, and a lot of people really love his like Shield stuff. And what's that? Not Shield, but he makes people invulnerable for a bit. Or what does he do? I forget what he does. Stasis.
He gives out extra condoms. He's like your sex ed teacher.
That's right. E is his condom, yeah. Right?
It's called. I don't even know. I'm calling it condom so much, I forget.
The E condom. It's electronic condom.
It's an E condom. Make sure to plug it into your USB slot. That's for right. A while to charge, uh-huh. And then you can use it.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. It's gray health bar. It makes your health bar gray and somehow damages her. I don't know what it's called. Wait.
That's all right. Bug me now. I like
are you thinking invulnerable?
Is it just called invulnerable?
It can't be that. It's got to be
called I don't think
else.
It's invulnerable because crowd control can still affect you, and invulnerable means it doesn't. All right.
It is called force of will. Okay. That's
force
weird.
Of will. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
it's because I think it has the same name as a fairly legendary magic card, and it kind of throws me. So,
oh, really?
It's called Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Nice, yeah. Perfect.
Wait, that's a Yu-Gi-Oh card, isn't it?
Is that a rare
one? Wait,
though?
Is that a magic card?
Dude, you
I don't know.
You know, by saying what you just said and not even knowing for sure, you know more about Yu-Gi-Oh than I'll ever know.
I worked at a GameStop, and as a result, we sold Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and I had to hear all manner of. Does this pack come with Blue Eyes White Dragon? And I just look at him and go, I don't know what words you just said. I understand they were English, but in that order, it has no meaning to me.
Is that still a thing? People play, is Yu-Gi-Oh a thing?
I don't know. I'm sure they do. The kids sure are into someone that? Out there that wants to play some Yu-Gi-Oh.
Here, chat room, is Yu-Gi-Oh still big?
That's a good question.
All right, well, let us know back what you hear. All right?
Okay.
We'd love to know. All right, so a technical thing that I noticed as well, I'm so glad that others have noticed this. They said, you know, not in a huge way, but they said, yeah, we did some technical tweaks to the engine, and you should see an improvement in some frame rate and connection quality. That has been a huge improvement for me, and I'm already running a pretty gnarly rig that shouldn't have any hiccups anyway and doesn't in any other game I have. This game's always been a little hitchy, just a tiny bit sort of like, I don't know, drag the mouse across the screen and it feels like it's kind of struggling to get you from there to there. And that kind of all went away. Bo, you saw huge changes.
Right? Yeah, for me, my system, I mean, it's a bit older. It chugs when they're loading stuff. Like, and it's weird because it's like the first time the enemy team casts Blizzard, it loads and there's a little hiccup and then I get killed by it at the first minute mark and it's frustrating. I noticed that the game was running way smoother after this latest patch. And the stability of the connection, I haven't had many of the like, wait, you're being disconnected. No, okay, you're not disconnected. Well, I think you're disconnected. No, you're not disconnected. Like that hasn't happened to me since the last week's patch. And I've noticed an uptick after almost every match. It's either asking me how my connection was or how the performance of the game was. And I had to answer 5 stars. Like they've both been really good. I've noticed a difference.
So they're clearly interested in improving this aging engine, this StarCraft II, you know, jigger rigged engine that they used to have. It used to be just an RTS engine, and now it's so much more. So that's good. I think that's a good thing. And maybe that answers that question we've had ages ago on an early episode, maybe even our first or second episode. Will Blizzard ever basically tear out the underpinning engine and do something new to better suit replays and, you know, how the game works in terms of, you know, connections and disconnections and all that. And maybe we have our answer now. They're not going to just rip it out wholesale. They're just going to slowly, you know, tweak it out and make it better. I think that's fine. Works for me. John, you seen an improvement?
Yeah, it actually has felt a lot better, and I couldn't really put my finger on what it was exactly. And then I read that they made these changes, and I thought, I bet that's what did it.
Yep.
I bet that's what got me. Mm-hmm. The only thing that still happens that I haven't been able to get rid of is every now and then Heroes decides to do the old flick the on-off switch on my video card, it seems, and all of a sudden I'll go to a completely gray screen, and then it'll come back and it'll say, hey, your video card's back on. And it's like, it shouldn't have been off. There's no reason that should have been a thing.
That's weird.
And Heroes is the only game that does it. It's not very often, but it does occasionally happen. Huh.
And that's happened since the patch?
That's happened since forever.
Oh, it's never gone. All right, I understand. Let's talk about proposed regen and healing changes. Regen is a thing I like a lot. I like things to regenerate, especially mana, because I never feel like I have enough. But there's a big discussion about health sustain and the future of supports, and it has a lot to do with regen and sustain. Bo, you know, what's the $3 tour version of this?
All right, so there's a big conversation going on internally on team. Was it team one or is it team here? Team whatever the team one team
one. Team one the 2.5 or whatever. Yeah,
yeah. They're having a conversation and they decided to let the community in on what they were talking about, which is essentially the game is not particularly lethal for sustain and poke damage, which is why you're seeing a meta that is heavy on CC and burst. And they're trying to investigate what the primary culprits are and see if they can't scale those back somewhat to offer different types of play. Specifically, they're actually looking to tune regen globes up to make them more meaningful, to give you more healing from it and perhaps more mana, because they're tied to quest objectives as well. They're looking at, you know, they mentioned here increasing the healing fountain timer from 100 seconds to 300 seconds, but make the heal bigger.
Yeah.
So that tapping the mana was still an important part of the game, but not as frequent. But these aren't changes that are coming. These are ideas that they've shared with us. The other one is passive health regeneration. And if I'm not mistaken, they even hinted at that internally they've been testing with turning off all regen, period. So like, for example, if you play Lunara, the poison damage doesn't mean that much when your character passively regenerates, you know, 30 health. It's as high as 50 or 60 on some characters. It's really nuts.
So if I'm Murden and I get hit with that poison, I rarely die from it because I can regen through it usually. So that's a good example of that combo.
Right. So the idea of this passive regen kind of invalidates certain play styles, and they're looking for room to make heroes that poke, that don't burst, but do damage more meaningful, because often it's not very meaningful. And the last part of the conversation is support characters, but they're not getting to it yet. But there's almost this sense of maybe support, like all kinds of healing needs to be just tuned down completely. Mm. You know, like imagine a 50% nerf to all healing throughout the game. What does that do to the game? I think we still want to have supports on our teams. We don't want healing to be so bad that we just prefer another assassin or specialist or warrior. But at the same time, there is a meta right now of burst, and you know, Greymane being a popular pick, you saw a lot of burst in the tournament we just watched. And the reason is that it's an optimal strategy in the given meta to control the battlefield and to burst low health pool characters down, rather than say whittle away at Murden and outskill him in this sort of skirmish way. You'll never kill him. You'll never kill these deep health pool guys because, as you just said, I can regen through it. No biggie. Yeah,
So what do you think? Where do you think this ends up? Because this is super interesting to me that they're even looking at this and that they opened it up to the community to say, look, this is where our brain is farting around right now. Like, we'd love your feedback or whatever. Does the game pull away from things like regenerating health and you know, move toward more of a game where these are finite resources that can only be regenerated via Nexus visits or a trip to a fountain?
I have a tinfoil theory hat.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
Because these conversations usually come up when heroes are coming down the line that are going to change the face of the Nexus. Mm. And we speculated that Gul'dan might have dots.
Mm. Yeah, we'd have.
And I'm wondering if that Gul'dan may seem relatively weak with all the regen and healing through the type of playstyle they might have for him. Just a tinfoil hat theory. Okay. But
Well, it is interesting that he's next up. John, how do you hope this pans out? Because I mean, I don't know. You and I are guys that like to, especially you. You're Min Max McGillicuddy. That's your new name. You're gonna change your name at a court of law and have it changed to Min Max McGillicuddy at some point.
Fair enough. You know, I thought I had an okay name, but you know, you can always go up.
But if all the characters behave like, say, I don't know, I guess what's her name? Tracer's a good example. She doesn't regen health in the game. Was that a big problem across the board if suddenly we all had to, you know, work a little harder to stay alive?
Tracer regens. She actually has one of the highest regen rates of any hero.
Who am I thinking of? Somebody newish that doesn't have any health. Maybe I'm thinking of Li Ming. She has no health regen, does she? I don't think so.
I think everybody does, but I think the rate is different for heroes. Okay. So there could be somebody with really low health regen.
Yeah.
But actually, it's funny that you mentioned Tracer because she was going to be my prime example. I can probably count on one hand the amount of times that I have seen somebody poisoned by Lunara disappear behind the safety of the wall and actually die from poison damage, even though when they disappeared, their health bar showed they were going to die from it, because they either hit the fountain or get healing or, you know, whatever happens, it's never enough to do it. And I always, that always kind of bothered me because it always made Lunara seem a little weaker than I think she's actually intended to be or should be. But Tracer is a good example of a poke hero that I really enjoy. And I've been trying to put into perspective why she is so effective and the others aren't. And I think it's because she can be more constant than most poke heroes. Lunara, you know, she puts her dot, but she's squishy and she can get blown up real easily. And she needs to be very careful. Tracer, because of her mobility, can be super aggressive. And the speed at which she does damage and poke, like, I never feel bad if I'm unloading on the tank as Tracer, because I know it's real easy to just get in there and keep hitting them constantly while dodging what they do back. And so you end up not trading like you do with most other heroes. So if they can get the other heroes who do sustained damage to feel like that, and I don't think the solution is make them all have blink like Tracer, but if they can find a way to get that to be fun like that, I would really, really like sustained characters a lot more than I do right now.
Interesting. Her closest analog feels like Tychus right now, honestly. Who else is like that? Mobility and rap and, you know, constant fire. He's not even quite there, but he's the closest I can think of.
She's compared a lot to Illidan, mainly from the mobility aspect, like one's melee, one's ranged, but the same sort of pain in the butt, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, there you go. We don't know what any of this is going to mean, but I am excited that they're talking about it, because that means that's a game where people are talking. Let's see. A couple more things here. Wednesday, June 22nd, balance patch. When was that? Is that tomorrow?
No,
that's tomorrow.
Yeah, I think maybe. Did it go live today?
I downloaded a patch today. Yeah.
Well, they do balance patches usually on Wednesday, but I thought I got a patch too. So maybe it happened.
What it was.
Anyway, KT's living bomb is more of a living whatever the opposite of a bomb is. All right. I like
a dead
that.
Bomb.
A dead bomb, sure.
Yeah, it was today.
It was today. Okay. Chromie got some more stuff. Her time trap costs less, increased placement range, more health. So again, she's getting, she's getting painted with a few buffs here and there. Still, maybe. Well, I haven't touched her since this patch. Maybe she's in a better place. I don't know. I really want her to be in a great place. I'm still. There's a sadness to me that Chromie's not all she could be yet.
The Chromie believers are out there fighting for that cause every day. Her win rate is climbing up.
Yep, and her win weight, which is also climbing up. Yeah. Rhaegar, healing nerfed slightly, damage increased slightly, basic attacks and lightning shield were increased. So, good job, Rhaegar. You continue to be a tweakable orc man.
He gets a lot. One thing not listed here that is very important, Tracer had a bug and it was fixed in this patch.
What was it?
Basically, if she took the talent at level 20, where her melee would set off the pulse bomb, it was basically a one-hit kill on anybody she used it on.
Wow, really?
I heard it technically triggered the pulse bomb twice, which was effectively a one-shot kill in most cases.
Oh my gosh, that's damage. That's hardcore. Well, all right, there's your update there. Hey, guess what, guys? I don't want to freak you out or anything, but it's time for... It's time for, what did we call it? Something Jeopardy. How do you say it?
Next Jeopardy.
All right.
It's my favorite segment of the show.
Yeah, second time in a row. Listen, here's how it's going to work this time. Instead of cribbing a bunch of stuff from Current Geek, we've got some Nexus theme music in the background that we'll play. We have this stupid theme. And we now... And if you guys, now here's how it works now. If you get a question correctly, you'll hear this. All right, that's from the game. That's a cannon fire there. If you get it wrong, that's a pig in the game.
Oh, this is great, dude. Production values are increasing. We leveled up as a team.
And if there's questions about we don't know how to answer it, you get a siege giant. All right, so that's that.
All right.
All right.
Perfect.
So,
thank you, Scott.
Bo, you're the host. Take it away.
All right, so I'm Gorath Trebek. Nice to meet y'all. The rules of Jeopardy are simple. There's a board. It's full of questions. We have a three extra questions this week, you know, 100, 200, 300, 400. We're going to flip a coin. You have your coin or your bottle or you have a child nearby, whatever it is you're going to flip.
I have an unopened copy of Star Wars The Force Awakens. Does that count? Can I flip that?
Perfect. Yep. May the Force be with you.
All right.
Who's Anakin? Who's Luke?
I don't know. If it's heads, it's all these heads on the front of the poster.
Okay.
If it's tails, I'm trying to see if there's anybody's butt. Nope, it's just the back. Sorry, no butts. So there you go.
All right.
All right, I'm flipping it, aren't I? Sorry.
All right. Wait. Whose heads or tails?
Oh, John, what do you want to be?
I'll call tails.
Okay, here goes. It is heads.
All right.
All right. So Scott's got control of the board. So what's going to happen is Scott's going to pick a question. I'm going to read the answer. You guys have to buzz in by making weird sounds. And I'll stop reading the question, and you have to answer. If you get it wrong, it goes to the other person who can answer or decline. And we're going to repeat that until it's time for Final Jeopardy.
All right.
You guys ready to go?
Yes.
What are the categories?
All right. The categories this week are, we have a repeat category, talent.
Good.
That's generous. That's number one. Remember, these are the talent names of the answers. This is, we got confused last week, so.
Right.
No, we were fine. You got confused last week.
We're a team. Don't waste time in chat blaming who let the team down.
All right.
The second category is called auto attack sticks, right? Auto attack sticks.
I should be writing this down. Is this in our notes?
The answers are item names.
Okay.
Okay. The third category is I'd mount that. I'd mount that? Or I'd mount that. I'd mount that. And the answers are mounts or mount related abilities.
Okay.
Okay.
Give me the first category one more time.
Talent, that's generous.
Talent, that's generous. Okay, I just want to have these written down so I don't forget them. All right.
All right. It's auto attack sticks, and I'd mount that. Scott, so now there's an extra tier. So it's 100 through 400. Let's get going.
All right. Mr. Trebek, I'd like to take I'd mount that for, I don't know, 200, 300. What is it? What are we doing?
One to 400.
Oh.
Pick one. 100, 200, 300, 400.
Let's do 400.
All right.
Going right for the throat here.
The theory behind this mount is that if you set your feet on fire, you will run faster. Maybe it's the shoes?
Burp.
Beep.
Yep. John got it.
Asthma dunks run. It's tennis shoes. It's sneakers.
That's not the name of the mount.
That's not it?
Oh, my gosh. You are a horrible person.
All right. Wait. You got it. There you go. That's the incorrect answer. Can I steal it?
Well, if you like to.
Does it work that way? I don't know how this game works.
Yeah, steal it, Scott. Go for it.
I'm going to steal it. It's, how Diablo mounts.
It's wrong. The answer to this question is, what are the Flames of Wrath?
Gosh dang it.
It is the Asmodan run, but it's the Flames of Wrath.
All right. Okay, so.
Yeah, I specifically called out the Asmodunk skin. I even knew the skin you were talking about because that's the one where he has shoes.
Yeah.
No, but it's on his base skin too. His run animation is Flames of Wrath on any skin.
So it's like.
Oh, no, I understand. I just disagree with you.
Okay. Right. Okay, so you're both at negative 400. Scott, you're still in control of the board.
All right, I'll take auto attack sticks for 200.
All right. There's a quote. Quote, whomever takes up this blade shall wield power eternal. Just as the blade rends flesh, so must power scar the spirit. Keep in mind, these are item names from weapons that heroes and Heroes of the Storm wield.
I don't know.
Scott or John, sorry.
Yeah. Frostmourne.
You're correct.
Damn it. I had a guess, and I didn't want to lose more money. Congratulations.
Nicely done, John. You're now in control of the board.
That is a long. That is a
how much money do I have? How much was that for?
-200, but you're in the lead.
Oh, all right. Auto attack sticks for 400, please.
All right. Quote, "The fact that this hero did not take her favored flail seems to indicate that her journey was un..." John?
Johanna and Johanna's flail.
What's the name of the weapon?
It's called Johanna's favorite flail.
Bam!
No! Bo, you're a horrible man.
Not the name of the item.
It's Scott. Johanna's flail.
I'm not stealing it. I don't know it.
Steal it, Scott.
The correct answer is, what is Johanna's argument from the Diablo 3 legendary item?
I'll show you
John's argument right now.
All right, John, you're still in control of the board.
Auto attack sticks for 300, please.
The namesake of these unusual-looking weapons was a Doomguard commander who met his end roughly 10,000 years ago. Scott?
Thrall's Doomhammer.
Incorrect.
Damn it!
Beep. I'll go for it. Why not?
John? Okay. The
Flames of Azanon.
You're close. Dude, give it... You're close.
Hold on, if you're close, you hit the sound.
I want you to get it, John. You're super quick about it.
I've gotten it.
Did he get it or no? He either got it. He either
bam. Nope. Incorrect. What are the twin blades of Azanoth? I would have accepted twin war glaives of Azanoth as well.
You know what? You should be
Illidan's items. I thought these would be really easy, you guys. I'm super sorry.
Yeah, until you became suddenly, like last week, you were like, oh, you said the word poop? Well, the word was fire, so you got it. Now this week, you've turned into a taskmaster.
But fine. I tried to make the questions easier. We didn't have to have this.
That's all right. We're doing John, balancing. It's balancing.
You're still
it's
in fine. Control. You're still in control.
The auto attack sticks for 100.
All right. It is called this name because when its owner takes it into battle, it spells doom for the enemy. John.
The Doom Hammer.
You got it.
Shit monkeys.
All right. So we've
by
got
last week's rules, Scott, you would have gotten that right, actually.
Yeah, I would have.
So okay, John. okay, so we still have talent that's generous, and I'd mount that.
Okay.
Where am I at money-wise right now, Bo?
-800, and Scott is at -700. It's neck and neck.
Oh, jeez.
Well, all right. Okay.
I'd mount that for 300, please.
All right. Rory Swan must have outfitted Sergeant Hammer with these little bad boys so she could keep up with the Rainbow Unicorn.
Oh, my gosh.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the name, so I'm not answering.
Scott? I'm going to say... oh shoot. I don't know. It's right on the tip of my tongue. So I'm just gonna have to say it and screw this up. What do you call that? Afterburners.
Incorrect. What are thrusters?
Thrusters? That was it? Thrusters?
That's it? All you had to say was thrusters?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. All right. You guys are overthinking this now. John, who's in control? John.
Yeah. I'd mount that for 200.
Yeah, the Predator A130, also known by this name, should replace the first generation Predators by 2506.
I don't know. Anymore. Scott? I don't even. You said no. Predator, right. And I just pictured Arnold in a jungle, and that was it.
All right. Bam. The answer is, what is the Cyber Wolf, or what is the Golden Cyber Wolf from the tooltip?
Okay.
John, go ahead.
I'd mount that for 100.
Awarded to all those brave enough to enter the Nexus, no matter how little copper is in your bags. Scott?
The plain horse. The horse.
Okay. It's correct.
Okay. Is it have a
acceptable answers are it is actually technically called horse. So what is horse? But I would have also accepted what is poverty horse.
Oh. Oh, you would have taken poverty horse? That sucks. That's what I would have said.
I get a point, or I get something there.
Yeah, you're now back at negative 900. All right. Talent, that's generous. That's all that's left. Let's go.
All right.
For 400. Oh, Scott got it.
Yeah.
You go, Scott.
But is it only one left? Is there, how many are in that category?
There's four left. There's
okay,
four left.
We haven't even touched that one. Let's do 200, please.
All right. This talent allows you to nudge your partner a short distance.
Oh.
Beep.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to regret this because I'm not going to get it spot on. Hurry up, oaf.
Incorrect.
Crap. Oh, because it's the talent, not the ability. Now I'm making the mistake you made from last week.
The talent? I don't know it.
What is nudge? Or sorry, what is shove? Shove.
What is shove? Who does it?
It's called shove.
Is it just a talent for...
It's a level one talent on Gaul that allows you to move Cho around.
Oh. All right. No, that's a good one. Right. I feel like we should have known that. All right. give me the 300, please. Talents that's generous.
This talent allows Sundering to travel indefinitely.
Oh, shit. Oh,
beep.
Yep, John.
What is Worldbreaker?
Boom, you got it.
Oh,
yes!
Nice.
I finally got one. It looked like I knew something about this game.
Nicely
back
done.
Back in the lead, John. John, nicely, you got control of the board. There's a 100 done. And a 400 for talent that's generous.
Talent that's generous for 400.
This talent causes Dimensional Shift to automatically activate at low health.
Dimensional
and
Shift.
And I take it almost every time.
That's an Artanis deal.
No.
No?
Dimensional
it's a,
Shift.
It's a Tassadar thing.
Oh, right. Bo, can you repeat the question?
This talent causes Dimensional Shift to automatically activate at low health.
Oh, I don't know.
The way he says these makes me think he's like giving us the answer in it. And like the answer would be Dimensional Automatica. Or something like that.
It's not a word in the answer, but it was used a lot in the tournament, I believe. A lot of Tassadar play in that tournament.
I don't know.
All right. Bam. What is Prescience?
I never picked that one.
Thinks of his ring.
I actually never picked that one.
All right, last one for 100. Here we go.
Okay.
You drop these while vaulting.
Oh, beep.
Oh, it.
John.
Caltrop.
Damn it.
Yep, you go.
John wins. What's the
score?
So
John wins, although there's a Final Jeopardy if you guys want to.
Oh, let's do Final Jeopardy.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Final Jeopardy.
How much money do we have?
Nothing.
John has negative 600 and you have negative 900. So.
All right.
You can bet as much as you have negatively. Let's do that. All right. So
what if we just said this is pass fail, a chance for Scott to fully come back if he gets it right.
All right. But if you both get it right, then John wins.
Okay.
Because he has the lead. Okay.
All right.
So this is going to be considerably, I think, easier than last week, but who knows where this will end up. Okay.
All right.
The category is called Fashion Forward.
Fashion Forward.
Fashion
for answer this. Am I supposed to have a pen or something?
So the answer, and I'll give you a little hint because just so it's not as nebulous, it'll has to do with heroes and skins. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Here's the clue. This hero had to visit Blackwing Lair to recover missing pieces of wardrobe, only to discover that Ragnaros has stolen the pants.
What?
All right, so this hero had to go get these clothes?
This hero had to visit Blackwing Lair to recover missing pieces of wardrobe, only to discover that Ragnaros had stolen the pants. It might not be correct, but it makes...
I know what this is. I
kind of think I might know.
I think I know.
Okay. All right.
So as the contender, Scott, we're going to start with you first. How much did you bet? Pass fail. You bet
pass fail. All right. So you want my answer? My answer is Uther, the Lightbringer.
So
does
what
he need
is
the name of the set or the name of the hero?
Did you answer?
Well, you said this hero, so I assume you meant the hero, right?
So
that's a good
yeah,
point.
So your answer is what is Uther the Lightbringer? It's incorrect. John, what's the answer?
Dang it.
Or what's the question?
I would have put down what is Judgment Uther.
You are correct. And you win
what?
Week's Jeopardy.
Wait a minute.
The name of the skin is Judgment Uther.
I thought you were asking. Oh, because you said at the beginning this is a skin, a hero skin.
Hero and skin.
Heroes and skin. I kind of feel like he got you though, because you did say this hero.
So I asked, you said Uther the Light. I can't give coach you on the answer. Sorry. You'll have to try again next week.
Alright, that's the end of that. Oh, that was amazing. Alright, I got a great, this is for my loss today. There you go. Big giant pig noise. Alright, let's get into this right here. We got a little something right here. Core concepts. Let's talk about Greymane. Gilneas Pete, he was on display, on fleek, as the kids say, at these finals over the weekend at DreamHack. And they're not weekend, I guess it was Monday. And I'm notoriously bad with that character. I never feel like I've really quite gotten him down. I know John has said similar things about Greymane, but he apparently is Billy Bob meta these days. So what's so great about Greymane? Bo, you want to take this? Why should we be giving him another shot?
So the meta being that Li Ming and KT get banned out a lot opens up the room for other things. And Greymane is an interesting little hero who can basically delete people if you time him right. So I'm looking for my next big hero carry, and I think this guy's the one. And one of the things that I saw a lot on Twitter this weekend was, wow, there's a lot of people in tournaments playing Greymane. I wish I could play him better. And I thought, well, this is a great idea for core concepts, because on the surface, he seems easy. He's a ranged carry, and lots of people play Rainer and Vala, and that's very basic auto attack. But he comes with this absolute incredible Hulk mode that, if you time it right, can just wipe people out. And so I think that this, they use this word a lot in the weekend, kill potential that Greymane brings is a big reason to start learning to play this character and pick him up in your games, because he can absolutely shred through pretty much anything when he's in beast mode.
So you have a recommendation for a typical game. Like, let's just say, I know a lot of things depend on team comp and who you're playing with and if people are random or not. I mean, there's all those factors, but let's forget about those for a minute and just assume that you're going to play your optimal build of Greymane. Mm-hmm. What does that look like, and how are you using him on the field? Like, when are you diving? When are you not diving? When are you standing back and shooting? How often are you throwing your stupid bottle? Like, what is the plan?
Yeah, so, I mean, you want to be shooting things in the lane when you're just doing the laning stuff. And you never want to be initiating, I think, as Greymane. Unless you're absolutely certain it's a one-for-one, pretty much your role in the team fight is to wait for something else to happen and to wait for that opportunity, because if you do open up into a fight, or if you go in too early when the team is ready for you, then they blow you up. He's the least, like, Butcher has way more sustain than he is, but the trade-off is the instantaneous nature of your teleport. So what you want to do is wait for your front line. You need a good front line. You need teammates that are going to not be afraid to fight without you, and wait for that opportunity. So pick off, poke from range, and when someone hits 50% or lower, to get in there and to nuke somebody. If you have the ability to teleport to somebody using Dark Flight immediately, and that does a bit of damage, you trigger your inner beast right away and start and press your Q button for the swipe, and you'll get a lot of damage in. And if that isn't enough, you can go for the throat, which should finish off somebody else, which you can use again within 10 seconds to do a ton of damage to the next target. When it's timed correctly, when everything comes together really well, there's very little counterplay if you time it correctly, because the fight's already open. People have already started blowing cooldowns. So optimally, you depend on your teammates a little bit to create those opportunities for you to blow someone's pants away. Mm. And, It's very fun. Do you guys, like, should we discuss a bit of talents? Because suddenly
I understand why you pick him when you play with me. The keyword, I guess, being you need to do it with a teammate who's not afraid to fight without you.
Yeah.
And John, definitely not, never afraid to fight.
Oh, yeah, no. Look, if there's a fight, he's going in. I know. Yeah, I've never known anybody who's more willing to get into the fray and not dick around. Let's go, no matter what character you're playing. So that seems like a real advantage to him. But, like, what is the default? Not default. What are most people smartly picking for their ultimate. I know different cases require different things, but almost every character has the one that you always get right now.
Ultimate wise, you want Go for the Throat. Mark for the Kill is way too subtle to really generate value from. It's always Go for the Throat just because it has that execute potential. And that's really big to have a button that says, I kill you. Like, I cry. Like, you just die. Like, it's just once they get to a certain health total, no matter what happens, like Draka and Durotan say to each other, you know, no matter what happens,
I will find you.
I will find you no matter what occurs. I will find you. Yeah.
You will get that kill, you know, and that is no other hero has something like that. And so I think it brings a lot to the table. Yeah. The big thing that I would, and I've seen a shift in, although I like to brag about how I'm always ahead of the curve, but I really hated the cocktail build. It seemed to me you don't pick Greymane to play a ranged carry when you can play Raynor or Vala or Lunara or any number, or even Tracer for that matter. You pick this character because you want to be a Wolfman. You want to be Worgen Freeman. You want Gilneas to rise again.
Yeah, you want Gilneas Pete to be at the tip of the spear. Here's the thing, though. Like, it is there, though, as an alternative, right? Like, you can build that way. The game has a way for you to do that. Is that for new Gilneas Pete players, or and they transition into being a much more melee focused werewolf man, or is that just in your mind? Is it just a bad call that they even gave you a path to take that is not Wolfman?
I just think that it doesn't leverage why you would take him. I think it's great design that they gave him some flexibility, but if you want to be competitive with him and bring. You want to lean on his strong foot rather than on his weaker foot. His weaker foot is definitely as ranged carry. because in order to have like reasonable attack speed, you've got to turn on your inner beast. Oops. and sometimes it's not on and there's nothing you can do. You're just a regular beast and that sucks.
Yeah.
So,
well, we've all been there.
We have, right?
Yeah.
I've been there.
And they kind of, well, yeah. I mean, sometimes my inner beast hasn't worked and it's made me very sad. I don't know what that means, everyone.
I don't either.
It's making people laugh.
So. I don't know.
Read into it what you want.
Yeah, whatever you want. It's up for interpretation. It's fine.
Bo, can I ask you a question about Gilneas Pete?
Okay.
What would you consider, and if you want to give a full build, you can, but what would you consider the key talents in your mind to make him the powerhouse you enjoy?
Okay, so level one is always Wolfheart. I'll go and give like my general build, and I think this was fairly synchronous to what we saw in the tournament this week. And Wolfheart, the first one. So when your inner beast gets turned off, you have to wait a whole 15 seconds to be able to turn it back on again. Wolfheart allows you to turn it on faster. It's like Viagra for your inner beast. And so this is really critical. I always take that one. You see a lot of people at level four take Eyes in the Dark to give yourself stealth, which is really good. Or give yourself block. I tend to take block just so I can take a few more hits. Sometimes survival talents means more damage, which in a way becomes its own damage talent. Thick skin. And then on seven, I like to take Wizened Duelist just because I really like the name of that talent mostly. Mm-hmm. It's like a gathering power bit, but if you do get out of control, it adds a ton of damage to your auto attacks in Worgen form. So I go Wizened Duelist or Wizened. Wizened. It's Wizened.
Wizened. Yeah, Wizened would not. Yeah, because that would imply that there are wizards out there, and we only want wizards.
Wizards. Don't you wish they were called that?
Kinda.
I want to go to that universe.
Yeah, the Diablo Gandalf 4.
The White.
The White.
A Wizard.
And we'll all go to Isengard. Like, just switch all the Isens and the Isens. I like it. It's pretty good.
A wizard arrives exactly when he means to.
All right, so quickly just to cover a few of the rest of my choices. 10, Go for the Throat. 13, On the Prowl will increase your move speed when Inner Beast has been active for 3 seconds. So, you know, once you get the blood going there and the kills going, it's great to be able to move and catch up to people. But also Unfettered Assault, which increases your swipe range, is good because when you swipe, you have this, you no longer are affected by collision, just like Dehaka, for example. So you can actually swipe to the other side of somebody and body block them and you know, you will fetter their movement, even though your movement is unfettered. All right. And
16
picks is generally alpha killer. Mm. I think you might take Relentless Predator if you're getting targeted with a lot of CC. That actually provides a lot of value. But for the most part, alpha killer, just more damage. You're the damage person on the team. And at 20, you can really take either Hunter's Blunderbuss. Is that what it really was called?
Yeah.
Or Tooth and Claw, which if you find you need a lot of ranged and they're grouped up, then you can use that. Or if you just want extra damage, the cleave is ridiculous. If you're auto attacking for 500 or more damage per hit and you hit three people, that's 1500 per hit of total damage. It's just ridiculous. So the upside is great on this ability. That's generally what I go for.
All right. Build this guy. I feel like I want to play him some more. I feel like after watching some incredible play with him in the pro games and then talking about it here, I haven't dusted him off in like ages, so maybe it's time to give old Gilneas Pete a spin.
Yeah, let your Gilneas rise again.
Well, that's right. We don't have anything more to say about that, except this. Time for a couple of phone calls that came to us at 801-471-0462. If you'd like to send email attachments and or emails, you can send those to core@heroesforyou.com as well. These are both phone calls today, and the first one is about changing heroes.
It's your friend John Ye West calling in again. I hope you guys are doing well. As always, the podcast is amazing. Keep up the great work. I wanted to ask you guys a quick question. Have you had the same epiphany struggle that I had and me and my buddies had? We were playing some Overwatch, having a blast, and we're like, hey, let's play some Heroes of the Storm. So we get in, and 2 or 3 minutes go by in Heroes, and I go, hey, Arthas just really isn't working. I feel like we need more damage. I'm going to change here. Oh, man, wait. I can't change heroes. Still love both games. Hope you guys are having a blast. Wondering if you've had that same problem where you're like, dang, I totally forgot this is the wrong game. Take care, guys.
I'd be lying if I didn't at least have that feeling since all of that compressed time of playing Overwatch like crazy like we did. Then when I get into Heroes, that feeling will hit me. It's a bit like I do a bunch of art on a Wacom tablet all day, and so there's a lot of Command or Control Z to undo things. And if I go to a piece of paper or a sketchbook and I'll draw something with a pencil or a pen, and my brain will go, Control Z, you screwed up, Control Z. There is no Control Z on a piece of paper, it turns out. There's erase if you did pencil, and that's kind of a pain in the butt. But I think that's a natural thing, especially if you played a ton of Overwatch. You go in there and you're in a game where you're picking a character, and if things aren't working out, your instinct is to switch it up, and you can't necessarily, or not in the same way anyway. But you guys have probably felt that way a little bit. I know I have.
Many a Tracer ult has been wasted because I'm playing Tracer, and I'm like, all right, this feels like Tracer. Mm-hmm. Good, we're tracing.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it. Time to reload. And then next thing I know, I've thrown out my ult and feel real embarrassed about it.
For me, it's not really the same. It's not really all that different than when we were playing, when Doom came out. John and I were playing Doom a lot. And Doom came out right around the time we had also been playing a lot of Overwatch. And on Overwatch, there's a real strategy to your reloads and when you do them. Reload is a real mechanic in that game. And in Doom, like the original Doom, there is no reload. There's whatever ammo you have, and there's no reloading. Sadly, the R button in Doom switches out attachments on your weapons and modifications. So I was constantly just out of habit going, well, I just unloaded like 50 bullets into that demon. Time to reload, tap an R, and then it would just swap out into the rocket launcher or whatever the crap I was using. And it was really freaking annoying. I had to change that key. Because I would rather hit it and have nothing happen than hit it and have it actually screw up my, you know, the actual fight. So I don't think it's all that different than that. Like games just change things up and they throw you off. Bo, what's your take?
I've had a little bit of the opposite feeling. Not to be too much of a dissenting opinion, but I always love when we find a comp in Overwatch that works really well and we start stomping and then the enemy team changes and all of a sudden we can't win anymore. Mm. I'm like, they should be stuck on those heroes. We pwned them in our draft. Like, why do they get to change to like Bastions and Torbjorns and all of a sudden we can't win and now we're all fighting amongst ourselves about why are we winning? Mm. So, I mean, it's a cool feature. I think they both have their spot, but I think I'm a little bit going to be the Heroes curmudgeon and be like, back in my day, we couldn't change heroes. So
yeah, but I
get
would
out of here.
To that,
get out of here with your hero changing nonsense.
I'm with you in that I don't think they need to bring that over into Heroes unless it's a special way to play the game or something. I'm not saying that needs to be completely revamped or anything.
True.
But
true.
When players have freedom, I'm always a big fan of that. And I'm not saying they, you know what you're getting into with Heroes, so it's not about a freedom thing. You're free to play the game or not. But mid-game, that desire to change things up, so you were just talking about in Overwatch when we're owning some fools because of our comp, and then they switch it up and it janks with our plans. If you flip the switch, it sucked for them, and they would have had to just sit through an entire match losing and knowing they could do something to disrupt us if they only could. You know what I mean? So I like having that option there. That game and its style and its play are well suited. And so we're all, this isn't the first team shooter to have character switching. Like, that's all shooters have ever been. You can always switch your characters in competitive play. So this is not like anything new there. But because so many of us are playing Heroes and Overwatch and splitting our time between them, it's impossible not to get the peanut butter and the chocolate sometimes, I think, in our heads.
Oh, and what you're saying is we can eat them both.
Yes.
Because they go really well together.
They go well together, and you can jump out and try the other one for a while or whatever. Exactly. It's the best metaphor I've made all day. Nay, all week. Nay, all month.
Speaking of chocolate, my mom gave me a jar of Nutella this weekend, and Nutella's banned from my house.
Wait a minute. A whole jar, brought it over and said, oh, son, you need a jar of the stuff.
She's not that old, but she's my mom you're talking about, Scott. How dare you? I was with her on Saturday. She's like, oh, no, I was at the grocery store. They're on sale. I know you like it, and you never buy it. So here's the jar of Nutella. And I'm like, no, I eat it by the spoonful.
Yeah.
You can't. So I got it Saturday, and I had a few bites of it. And then I said, well, if I'm having bites of it, I might as well eat it. So 90% of the jar is done, and it's Monday now.
That's amazing.
I cannot have it in the house, but I like chocolate. That's all I want.
Hey, I got a sound clip for that. All right. And then also one other thing I was going to say about Nutella, and this, I'm in trouble in my own house for Nutella, and here's why. It's not for the exact same reason, but Kim will get a thing of Nutella, and she'll get a thing of, chunky peanut butter. They'll both be in the pantry or whatever. And I have this habit of getting a fork, stabbing a big chunk of peanut butter out with a fork, and then going into the Nutella thing and then piling on top of the same fork a big chunk of that. So I basically got this two-layer nightmare, and then I eat that. And then, put the fork in the sink and I'm all done. I don't go in for seconds. I'm not double dipping or anything. But what happens is anybody who wants either Nutella or peanut butter, depending on which one I started on, there's like these little like dark brown track marks in the otherwise light brown peanut butter from where I put the chocolate. And I'm constantly mixing them up. So I get in trouble for that all the time. What are you going to do? I mean,
but they're two great tastes that go well together.
That's exactly my point. It's fantastic, Bo. Do not feel bad. Eat that thing, man. Eat it with pride. And then do about 300 miles.
I'll feed my inner beast.
Yeah, feed your inner beast and then go for the throat. All right. That's it for that call. How about this one it's a comment and a question.
Hey, guys. This is Jenny from Oklahoma City, existing hook in the Nexus. I had a comment and a question. You guys keep talking about, spending real money. And I know December's going to come around and Scott's going to say something about the sale and how he didn't wait and how he should have waited. Just reminding him, friendly reminder, we're probably going to see, a 50% sale on most everything in the store, if not everything. So just keep that in mind. My husband and I are saving pennies for that 50% sale. And if it doesn't come, it doesn't come. That's fine. And then a question. Do you guys think that we're ever going to see something along the lines of gifting things to friends on Battle.net in Heroes itself, gift a mount, gift a skin, gift a bundle, something like that. Anyway, enjoy the show and keep it up.
All right. So to address the first thing, I am committed this year to wait for sales because there's not a ton of things outside of new characters I don't know about yet that I'm even that excited about. I kind of have all the skins I want. So unless they go crazy suddenly with a ton of new things and I just can't resist, I think I'm fine for now. I'll wait for sales for stuff that I still need to pick up. To the point, and you guys don't really have the same silly problem I do, or at the very least, you guys are the ones that are talking me into doing it on the air or something.
That's right.
Way
it's
ahead
our
of time.
Job.
It's your job. Well done. But the second point of gifting, I wish the thing did it now. Like, it's dumb. I wish I could go in there and go, oh my gosh, Lily's only this, and I know someone who doesn't have her, so I would love to just gift, you know, this $5 Lili to my friend. It's dumb the game doesn't support that. That's extra revenue they're leaving on the table, and I don't know why they don't. So I'm totally with her on that. That needs to change.
Yep. I agree with everything you just said, except I can't wait for some things. Like new heroes I've got to get as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I do too. Well, it depends. If it speaks to me, like just Medivh didn't speak to me. But I have a feeling that Gul'dan might, you know. In fact, probably will. It's probably a guarantee that he will. So when he comes out, I'll be like, yep, jumping on that one. Even if it's cash, I just got to get that guy. And, you know, that's how I'll kind of go moving forward. But when it comes to skins and stuff, I just feel like they've laid out, they've made the table, and we all kind of know everything's a given quantity. There's nothing that we don't know about. And if something comes up, fine. You know, if they're suddenly like, you didn't know this was coming, freaking Tychus in a tutu, let's go, you know, then maybe I'll do it. Maybe not.
Well, you got Prisoner Tychus, didn't you? That's the logical next step.
Yeah, just put a tutu on him and he's good.
What do you think the alternate skin for Gul'dan's going to be?
Oh my gosh.
The Chef Gul'dan.
Well, you've already got a Stitches like that. It's got to be something that's very contrary to his sort of evil, dark warlock ways, right? That's usually how they do it. Not usually, but there's like some fun in that contrast. So if it'd be something like, who's all hunched over like that? Who could it be?
I'll tell you what I'm thinking. If you want another minute to decide.
Yeah. What do you got?
Here's my pitch of a really bad, joke that I'm going to run with. Gul'ham. He is a green pig man.
Oh, you mean kind of like Duke Nukem Pigman, right?
A little bit, like the bad guys in Duke Nukem.
Yeah, sure. Gul'ham.
3D.
Gul'ham.
Gul'ham.
I like
it. I won't buy it, but okay.
I would.
No, you'll buy it because it'll be awesome.
Yeah, and it'll be like $14. You know what? You got me there, John. I can't think of anything else. They're going to surprise us, I'm sure. And
Vape
it'll be
King
cool.
Gul'dan. He comes with a little man to just take drags off of every now and then while he talks.
They could make him look really, they could go for like something that's kind of licensed without having to license it. So they could make him eerily close to, you know, Gandalf or something in an alternate skin or
yeah. Oh, that's a nice idea.
Yeah. Something like that. So he's like, oh, it's nice Gul'dan. And you know, just like, Chromie has nice Chromie and evil goblin Chromie. They could totally do that. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm excited about it. Shouldn't we be seeing, like, next week probably we'll see some video or, like,
I would think so.
Something. I know we probably won't get him until... When would we get him? If we're 3 weeks, it's, what, 2 weeks away?
So yeah, this is 1 week, so 2 weeks out. Probably get some news drops this week.
Yeah, I'm excited. Actually. Maybe an abilities video or something would be really cool. I'm anxious for him. He's as far as everything we know about that leak... And this isn't spoiling anything. He's on that leak, but we already know he's coming, so it's not like it's leak anymore. But of all the leaked characters, he's probably the one I'm most excited about. So we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, he seems good.
That's it for calls. Thank you for sending him in. 801-471-0462 is that phone number. Use it to your heart's content. Don't forget, core at heroesforyou.com is the email address. We are at heroesforyou.com. And you can join us in the game, /joinfrogpants, anytime. And there's a big group in there always chatting and talking and looking for groups and stuff. So a place to play with you and your friends. You can follow us on Twitter at Core Heroes, at John Jagger, at Scott Johnson, and at Bo Schwartz. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.